Psalm 2. Look at Psalm 2. I guess this is an appropriate message. What I'm going to preach anyway. Psalm 2. This is the psalm normally titled, you read it in commentaries, expositions, the Psalm of Messiah the Prince. It's about the reigning Christ. So I guess it's appropriate. Would be. Would have been appropriate over at Stone Mountain this morning. Wouldn't you think so? It'd been awful hard for me to preach with my teeth are chattering. What most folks don't know, and this is my idea, and I'm not going to bind anybody with it. If you want to be wrong, be wrong. But he got up about 6 o'clock yesterday afternoon. This evening, according to the Hebrew calendar. If you go by the Hebrew calendar. I think that's what he's going by, the old Hebrews, that week. I think so. I think they took him down from the cross about 6 o'clock on Wednesday evening. It's the only way in the world you can get 3 nights and 3 days out of it. But like I say, it's 2 or 3 theories on this thing, and notions and ideas, and of course notions are like noses. Everybody's got one, don't they? And opinions, what have you. But I know one thing. 40 days after he got up, he sat down on this throne.
Amen.
Right here. How did I know that? 10 days later, he sent back an evidence. He sent the Holy Ghost to give power to the gospel. And that power, the gospel and its power, just started circulating the world. Moving from place to place. 1620, got on a boat, came over here. Kept moving and moving and moving until about 44 years ago, he caught hold of this center. He raised this center from the dead. I entered into the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't know a thing in the world about it prior to that, but I've known about it ever since.
Amen.
Never been the same, Randy. You haven't either, hey, brother. Does something for a man. Transforms a fellow. The power of the resurrection. They having these ceremonies. Going through these rituals all over the country around here today, this morning. High day of the year for religious folks, isn't it? A lot of them spend the day today thinking about it a little bit. Won't think about it again until next Easter. That's not so with a believer. Every day is resurrection day. Every day. Every Sunday we get together. Every Lord's Day we get together is a remembrance of what Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago. He got up from the dead. And then he ascended to high. Sat down on the throne. Why did the heathen rage? Why did he do this? Why do the people imagine vanity? Vanity. Meditate on it. That's all they think about. Vain things. You know what vanity is? It's emptiness. Emptiness. It has no substance to it whatsoever. That's vanity. That's the natural man. That's all the natural man dwells on, vanity, emptiness, emptiness, emptiness. Never will there be fullness until a man comes to know Jesus Christ. You won't never really have anything to think about until you come to know Christ. Then you put everything in relationship to Him. It has meaning. It has meaning when it all comes into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This psalm could be divided into four parts. You have the raging nations there in verse 1 through 3. Second part, you have the judge who holds them in contempt as they rage in verse 4 through 6. Third part, you have King Jesus, the Son, as He proclaims and declares the decree, verse 7 through 9. Fourth part you have is verse 10 through 12. And you have the king giving sound advice. Sound advice. This psalm expresses this. It expresses this. It expresses Jehovah's determinate purpose to exalt His Son. And the ultimate reign, to establish the ultimate reign of His Son over all His enemies. Jesus Christ is ruling. Christ has already been exalted to the right hand of majesty on high. He's ruling and He's going to rule and He's going to conquer until all is absolutely conquered, triumphed over, put under His feet. He's going to do that. He's going to do it. He's doing it. He's going to do it. He's going to accomplish it. That's what this psalm teaches us. I think you can look by the eye of faith through this psalm and you will see the final triumph of King Jesus. I believe you do that, Tommy. Over all His enemies. Let's look at it a little bit. Look at it just a little bit with me. These four parts, the raging of the nation, verse 1 through 3. We enter here. What you do here is enter into the secret chamber of man's conspiracies. Man thinks he's so smart. He's constantly proposing. Secretly he's conspiring. I'm glad I don't know what's going on right now. I'm glad I don't know what's going on right now among the higher-ups. It's good that God does not disclose all that to you and I. I mean, we're able to lie down in peace at night. Not contemplating, not worrying about these things and being anxious over what they might be plotting. You trust those folks up there in Washington? Huh? I don't even trust me. Much less those. I have no confidence in the flesh, as Paul said. It's capable of anything. And only God knows what's going on. And I'm so thankful that He has what He knows under control. Absolute control. They're never going to get ahead of God. Man thinks he will. He thinks he can. He thinks by his conspiracies that he can put the idea of God totally out of mind, that he's got everything right where he wants it, but he cannot accomplish that. God's still there. God's still doing. God's always ahead. Always. Why do the heathen rage? Why do they do this? Why do the nations rage? It's a raging world, isn't it? Yeah. You know, God begins this psalm here with a with an angry divine interrogation. Why? You can say it twice. Why do the heathen rage? Why do the people imagine a vain thing? The judge is interrogating here. Why? Why? You that oppose God, why are you opposing the Almighty God? You that remain in your rebellion, why do you remain in your rebellion? It's a foolish thing to rebel against the Almighty. It's something to be amazed at. Seems like God may be somewhat amazed here. Why? Why, you fools? Why do you rage? Why do you dwell on empty things? Why? Oh, why? Raging, raging, roaring, and raging like the sea, tossed to and fro. Now, what Isaiah said about the wicked, like the raging sea, like the roaring, raging sea, tossed to and fro, casting up its mire, that's the wicked. That's raging today, isn't it? I was talking to these girls this morning. I had the girls back there this morning talking to them a little bit out of Proverbs. We worked through the first 5 verses of Proverbs. I was talking about what they face today. I mean, I told them, Ed, you kids, I never was confronted with what you're confronted with today. What's opposing you today? What you have to deal with today? And the only way in the world you're going to overcome it is through the wisdom of God. And wisdom comes through this word here. This is our counsel book. It's raging. It's reaching out. It's grabbing for you on every side. This old perishing, decaying, corrupt world wants to drag you down with it. Raging. Like the restless waves in the ocean storm. These people imagining vanity. Who they imagine vanity? Who they imagining vanity against? God Almighty. He's the one that's interrogating here. He's bringing about an indictment against these people. It's God imagining vain things, empty things against God, conspiring against the Almighty God. The God that created all things, conspiring against Him? Foolishness, isn't it? Utter stupidity. You know, yeah, I said against God. I did not say against sweet Jesus. I said against the Almighty God. You know what I believe? Been coming on for some while. Gained momentum. Norman, America has concocted a Jesus cult. They've concocted a Jesus cult. And they've told the God of this Bible to go to hell. You listening to me? Are you getting what I'm saying? Everybody loves sweet Jesus. Yes, sir. Well, they hate the God of this Bible with a passion. you got acquaintances, you got relatives, you got friends, and they'll talk about sweet Jesus with you. How much they love sweet Jesus. But you began to impose upon them the claims of King Jesus. Altogether different story, right? Tell you next time somebody asks you if you know Jesus, ask them which one you're talking about. Which one you mean? More than likely, they didn't talk about the same one you know, you're acquainted with. You know, Paul didn't write two times. I'm talking about in two different letters about another Jesus. Wasn't the one he knew. Wasn't the one he preached. Wasn't the one that this Bible teaches. It's altogether different. This rage that he's talking about here, this is not a temporary rage. This is a deep-seated hate. That's what he's indicting over. What he's charging with. Why? Why do you hate? Why do you go about with that deep-seated hatred against me? And on top of that, you plan and you plot your conspiracies against me. Peter brings this thing over into the application of New Testament, chapter 4 of Acts. You know that, don't you? He charges those religious leaders with this very thing right here. They just released them from incarceration. You remember that, don't you? They went back to their own people and they began to pray. And Peter quoted this text verbatim here. Why do the people rage? Why do the nations rage? The heathen. Why do the people imagine vain things? Against the Lord and His anointing. He's talking about the Lord. The Lord that He preached, the gospel. Those that were identified with Him, He's talking about them. He said, it's against them. Against Him, against them. I'm going to tell you right now, if you stand for this God here, you stand up and speak for this God right here. You tell people that this is a God that you're acquainted with. This is the God you believe in. And I'll guarantee you, you're not going to win friends or influence people. They'd rather talk to you about sweet Jesus. The rage. Oh, yes. The kings, the rulers, they foment rebellion and lead the people into it with themselves against God. They conspire together, saying, let us break their bands asunder. That is, let us be free to commit all manner of abominations. That's what they want. That's what the court system's all about today in this country. All the way up to the Supreme. That's all it's been about for years now, is to throw off these constraints and these restraints and these things that bind them up. Let's get rid of them. And finally they'll say, let's get rid of those who had heard of those things. We'll get rid of the laws and we'll get rid of those that uphold these laws. May be coming. In other words, what they do here is go back to the garden. This is in the mind of men, isn't it? What they want to do, Brett, is be their own gods. That's in the nature, isn't it? That comes out of Adam. To be their own gods. I don't want any restraint. Let me decide for myself. Huh? Yeah. I heard old Giuliani the other day. trying to justify his position against his right to abortion. He said, "Well, I'm against abortion." He said, "I'm for, and I'd much rather they adopt these babies." He said, "But," he said, "I believe a woman has a right to kill." That's right. "I believe a woman has a right to murder." That's what he's saying. And he also said, "I would, if I was president, I would never do anything whatsoever that would reverse Roe versus Wade." They've been laboring to get rid of these restraints. Let us just do whatever we want to do. You know, we're of a nation that has rights. Rights. Let us be our own God. Let us rid ourselves of all restraint. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The Jesus cult doesn't feel that way about its Jesus. Why, listen, sweet Jesus would never put a restraint on his converts. That's so. You know what's deficient in the Jesus cult? One word. L-O-R-D. Left out. Left out. Authority. Power. Government. Kingship. You add that, and you separate. That's so. That's absolutely so. Yeah, I say America. America's concocted this Jesus cult. Been coming on for some time. I thought there was some hope. Well, we had a revival of the grace of God several years ago. Maybe turn this thing around, move in the right direction. But I'm telling you what's true. The more I look out here and look around me and think about what I see, Brother Tommy, I believe the Sovereign Grace movement's concocted a well-indoctrinated folk that still hadn't bowed the knee to King Jesus. Turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, using it as a mask. There's something about bowing to King Jesus. And listen, forget this stuff about making him Lord. He's Lord. Were you making so or not? God's already got ahead of you there. He's on the throne. He's ruling. And when he breaks a sinner, he meets that sinner in his rebellion, and he breaks that sinner in that rebellion and brings that sinner down to the feet of sovereign mercy. And with Paul, we all say, "Lord, what wilt thou have me do?" The end of the conflict. Right then and there. That's missing in many circles. In many circles. Let us cast away. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cord from us. As if it was an easy matter to do. Let us fling off the cords. That's what the word says. Let's fling off the cords from us. You know, and I thought about this. Rulers legislate in this direction. They do. Rulers legislate in this direction, and the people vote for it. Breaking these restraints. We used to have so many what you call old blue laws down here in the South. Did y'all ever have them up north? And I thought they'd been long gone up there. They've been gone for a good while around here, hadn't they? Blue laws. Didn't open stores on Sunday. Didn't play ball on Sunday. Didn't do all this other stuff on the Lord's Day. Didn't allow it. Didn't sell beer and liquor anywhere. Right? Most counties were dry. Had to go across the river over down into Egypt to get anything. I remember those days. It hadn't been too long, had Brother Charles. But they got rid of all those restraints. Everything open and free. Now, you can do about anything you want to. Where it's the Lord's day, whatever day of the week it is. Wide open, isn't it? Got rid of those restraints. People voted for it. Yeah, the rulers legislated, and people came and said, yeah, we're all for it. We get where they're going to vote. Liquor in the Douglasville up there, in the city limits. Big uprising against it. I went up there. I got involved in it. Went up there. I had an uncle was pro tem mayor and on the council up there. And I went into the council. I went to the head. Hey, let me in there with some of them. I went in there. I said, wait a minute. Let me read you some scripture. I read that text out of Habakkuk. Woe is him that putteth the bottle to his neighbor's mouth. I don't know where that applies or not, but I put it out there. And I looked at my uncle, old Tom, Uncle Tom. You know he was the only one that voted against that thing in that council. He listened to what I had to say. And he told the council after I left it. He said he had something to say. So we better think about this. And then Tom voted against it. He said, I'm not going. He told him in council meeting. He said, I'm not going to vote for something that I'm going to have to send one of my policemen down to take care of because of what I voted for. He said, that just don't seem sensible to me. But they voted for it anyway. And the people said, amen. That's where we are today. Amen. Whatever comes along, it gives us more freedom and less restraint. Let's vote for it. Oh, listen. You look at this, you think, oh, rulers, kings, whatever you are, presidents, councilmen, whatever, rulers. Who do you think you are, Samson? That you're going to break the restraints of God Almighty, the law and precept of God? You're going to break these off like they're green vines? And fling them away? Are the bands of omnipotence but strings? Rotten cords that man can throw off? What do you think about that? Oh, yeah, do you dream that you can snap to pieces and destroy the mandates of the Almighty God? The decrees of the Everlasting One? Can we do that? So here's the chamber. Here's the wicked chamber the chamber room of man's conspiracies. But let's rise above that just for a moment. Let's rise above that just for a little bit. Go to verse 4. Verse 4 through 6. Let's go up to the throne. That's where we're all going one day. To the white throne. You know what Revelation says? To the white throne of judgment. That's where all men are going to be summoned one day. These great conspiracy leaders, they're going to be summoned up there. I preached on a while back. They're nothing but potsherds. And is the potsherd going to say to the one that created it? So and so and so and so. No, sir. We can talk to one another's potsherds. Clay pots broken. But we can't talk to the one that made us. Huh? No, sir. Not in any demanding way. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. He shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. I like this next word, yet. Yet. While man conspires, man proposes, God's already disposed. Yet. Yet. Oh, what language in this song. I've been preaching, about 14 years in the Psalms, Tommy. I had to finish up 145, and I was thinking when I went back looking over this Psalm here and comparing some things I'd said before and some fresh things the Lord gave me, and I thought, man, I missed so much, I might need to go back and preach another 14 years. Start back in Psalm 1, preach another 14 years. Problem is, I don't think I got 14 more years. I give it a good start, though, couldn't I? So we rise above man's conspiracy chamber. We rise to the throne room of the everlasting King here. He that sitteth in the heavens. He does. He's not up there walking around wringing his hands. I don't know what I'm going to do next. All upset. Boy, this thing getting out of hand. I don't know how I'm going to handle this and that and the other. He just sits there quietly in his dignity. And he laughs. Hey, not that he sees anything humorous. This is not a joking matter. But this is a laugh of mockery. You know, you've seen this, you know. Somebody rises up to do something they're totally unable to do. They don't have the power. No way in the world they can compensate. They may be against someone. Maybe even against you. You just sort of sit there. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, old boy. You don't know who you're fooling with. You don't know who you're tangling with. Huh? That's God. And he holds them in derision. That means he's like a judge sitting on the bench. He's controlling the court. He's the ruler. He's the judge. He keeps it in order. When somebody gets out of order, he comes down with a gavel. Wham! Against the desk, he says, "You're in contempt." Hold that person in contempt of the court. That's what the judge in heaven does. He sits on the throne. Every time you rise up and you're rebelling against God Almighty, he holds you in contempt. Romans 2 says he's got a bucket of wrath. He just fills it up. Every time somebody rises up against him, kicks up their heels against God, refuses to obey his blessed word, just drops another drop of wrath in that bucket. It's against the day of wrath. And the day of the judgment of the Almighty God. I tell you what, I wouldn't want to fool with God. I sure do not want to aggravate the God of this Bible. So what does the king say? What will the king do unto those who reject his only begotten Son, the heir of all things? Well, the Jews confess themselves. Well, in a parable, the Lord put it to them over there. What will he do? He said, well, he rise up. Here's the Son. Let's rise up and kill it. We can seize the inheritance for ourselves. He said, what will God do to those wicked men? They confessed it, and he'll destroy those wicked men. He'll destroy them. Oh, he sits there in quiet dignity. He's the omnipotent one. He can drop the hammer anytime he pleases. He can snuff this thing out anytime he pleases. What'd he make this world out of? Huh? Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He can destroy this thing now, instantly, and take nothing, make another. Take nothing, make 10,000 more just like it. He's the omnipotent one. I don't think we know who we're fooling with. Note the contempt he pours on the princes and the raging people. He doesn't take the trouble to rise up and do battle with them presently. He doesn't do that. This has been going on, going on, going on. This continues to go on. He sits there. He sits there. He reserves it to the last. And when he rises up, folks, it's over. It's over. He's going to rise up. Hey, don't count him out. He's going to rise up. He's going to do that. Think about laughing here. What's that, a breath? You know, Paul said when Jesus Christ comes again, when he manifests himself at the last, you read this in 2 Thessalonians. He said he's going to smite them with the breath of his mouth. It doesn't take much for him. Not much at all. No, he despises them. He knows how absurd, how irrational, how futile their attempts against him. Yet he laughs. Your day's coming. Your time's approaching. I'll get you. I'll get you. That's my God. That's my God. That's the God that this world hates. But it's the God that believers love. Yes, this expresses, this word laugh here. It's described to him in the language of men, just like the word grieve or the word repent. The language we use. Something we understand. But in a strict sense, can't be applied to God. It can't be applied to God. God never repents. I'm the Lord. I change not. Immutable. God doesn't grieve like you and I grieve. There may be a grief to him in the sense of his divinity, his deity. But certainly not like our grief. God's never sad. When we grieve, we're sad. God's never sad. He's forever happy. He's pleased. He's pleased within himself. He has a perfect pleasure within himself. So let's don't apply it to God like we would apply it to one another. What it does express is his security from all their attempts and the contempt that he has the men and the certain punishment that he has reserved for them. And all they do, all men do, is just aggravate that punishment that God has reserved for them. Just stirs up more wrath. Man lives in rebellion. Walks about in rebellion against God Almighty. All he does is just stir up more wrath. One day God shall vent that wrath. I'm saved from it, thank God. I'm saved. Why? Because he vented the wrath upon me, upon my blessed substitute. Trusting in Christ. Job has an idea that applies here. He said, at destruction and famine, thou shalt laugh. Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beast of the earth. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of a spear. Terrifies you and I. Doesn't do anything with God. Yeah, the Lord shall have them in derision. And then he said, then shall he speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. You know, I thought about this. I wrote it down here. God's shalls and God's wills are never frustrated. They're never aborted. They're never altered. What God says he shall do, he will do. Mark those I shalls and I wills of the Almighty. Because he will. And he shall. Then notice King Jesus, he declares the decree. You notice how the language changes here in verse 7? He said in verse 6, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill, Zion. Hebrews says, upon Zion, the hill of my holiness. Then verse 7, the Son speaks. And the Son says, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me. See how it changes that? The Lord has said unto me, thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. I'm not going to get into speculations here. There's probably too many. My opinion here is that he's talking about when Christ was begotten from the dead, raised to the throne, established as the God-man mediator over the kingdom. Makes sense to me. I think that's what he's talking about. So we've looked into the council chamber of the wicked, then to the throne room of God, and we've learned what he thinks about this stuff. Now we behold him in verse 7 through 9. We behold the anointed one declaring his right of sovereignty. That's what he does here. He declares his right of sovereignty and warning rebels of their doom. The Son speaking here, verse 9, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, my Father said, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And then the Father speaks again, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. You're king. You're sovereign. You're established as the judge of all the earth, the king of all the world. It's yours. I give it to you. You accomplished my purpose in redemption. I raised you from the dead to attest to the fact that I was satisfied. I raised you up. I set you here by my side on the throne. Take care of it, son. Go away. He said, when they rebel against you, break them. If they persist in their rebellion, break them. Break them like a potter dashes a piece of pottery to the earth and dashes it to pieces. So it belongs to him. You know, every creature belongs to the Lord. Man, beast, and devils all belong to sovereign King Jesus. You think you're going to do what you please? No, sir, buddy. Buster boy, you better back up and think a little bit. Don't try to do something in your own pleasure and thinking that you're displeasing with God and get away with Him. Catch up, will you? Everything catches up after a while. It does. Yes, sir. Everything belongs to Him. The bottom line, everything that doesn't bow will be broken. That's what He said there. You know, potter's vessels will not be restored if they're dashed to pieces. Can't restore them. Every now and then we break something around the house. Something we like to keep, you know. And china, a piece of china, something, you know. I'll get that old super glue out. I'll go to work it. Trying to get that thing pieced back together. But he's talking about breaking something that cannot be put back together here. Super glue won't hold it. Won't help it. When King Jesus breaks you, hey, you know what the scripture said? He's the stone cut out of the mountain without a hand. He said, every man that falls on this stone, he's talking about repentance, shall be broken. But upon whom this stone falls, he'll be ground to powder. Gone. Can't put it together. Can't put it together. God help us. We know who we're dealing with. Do we? Oh, ye sinners. Seek His grace. Whose wrath you cannot bear. Fly to the shelter of His cross. And find salvation there. And here's this sound advice. Comes in verse number 10. You see it? He said, be wise. You girls remember what I was talking about this morning? Wisdom. Talking about wisdom. I spent about 30 minutes or so talking to the girls about wisdom. The difference in the wisdom of the world and the wisdom that we find in the cross of Christ. Wisdom. This is wisdom speaking. Be wise now, therefore. Oh, ye kings, ye rulers. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. Lest He be angry with you. And you perish from the way. When His wrath is kindled, what? But a little. Don't take much. Don't take much. That poor young 24-year-old man down in that pit Friday had no idea that his time was up. He had no idea his time was up. I told you about that friend of ours pitching batting practice for that college down in Jacksonville, Florida. He had no idea. 53-year-old, good health, worked out every day, stepped off the mound and dropped dead with an aneurysm. Had no idea, did he? Somebody said, "You trying to scare us, preacher? I wish I could scare the hell out of you."
Yeah.
And scare you out of hell if you don't know Christ. I sure do.
Yeah.
That's
right.
I'll tell you something. Can I do it? I'm closing. Can I wrap it up here and just tell you something? If I knew that I wasn't right with God right now, knowing what I know, how God's been dealing with my own heart over these messages, not sermons, but messages that's been coming your way. If I knew that I wasn't right with God, I'd make dead sure that I complied to this verse 12 here, kiss the Son. I'd make up. You know, every now and then, Pastor and I get out of sorts with one another. It's not a good thing. I don't like that. Peace is broken. That's right. And it's wonderful when we can walk up and say, "Darling, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." Put my hand and arms around her and kiss her. Boy, I tell you what, I feel so good. Everything's made up. I'm going to tell you right now. If you're not made up with God, you need to make up. You need to make up. You need to be reconciled. Be ye reconciled. Oh, the wise thing for the sinner to do is kiss the Son. Make love to the Son. I mean, on your hands and your knees, down at the feet of sovereign mercy, in the dust of repentance, with all your heart laying hold of Him. Say, "I love you. I love you. I'm through with that. And I love you. And I want to walk with you." You know, He said this. You know what He said this: "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha." What it simply means is, let him drop off into hell when the Lord comes. If a man doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ, love him. Let him be a curse when the Lord comes. What does it mean to love the Lord Jesus? What does it mean? Well, it means many things. But the number one thing at the top of the list, I believe, is subjection. Subjection. I don't have time to go there, but Ephesians chapter 5, when Paul uses the wife and husband relationship, how does the wife express her devotion relationship to the husband? Huh? Submission. Subjection. And that's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in subjection to the Lord. It's subject to Christ. That's it. He's king. If you're one of the king's subjects, you're subject to it, right? He said this. He said, "He that honors not the Son honors not the Father." These folks think they can own the Father and deny the Son. We're full of them out here. Don't know God. He said, "He that honors not the Son honors not the Father who sent him." That term kiss refers to solemn honor. Which subjects yield to the sovereign. So the psalm is simply this: God is defrauded of his own honor if he be not served in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Kiss the sign. Kiss the sign. Lest he be angry with you. And his wrath is kindled but a little. And you perish from the way. Our Father, again, we're before you in the Lord Jesus. Only by the mercies of the Almighty God do we stand today. We have strength. Only his strength, O Lord, is derived from our blessed strength giver. Lord, our heart is dead burdened and sinks low. We desire to see these sinners close with the Lord Jesus. On the Lord Jesus Christ is their sovereign, is their king. Oh, my God, send us a great awakening. Oh, my God. Send us a moving of the Spirit of the Lord here in this little old church and outside its walls. We pray, we pray, we pray that our glorious God and his Holy Son will soon be magnified and glorified. Oh, my Lord Jesus Christ, who rules over all. How long, O Lord, will you tolerate rebels to blow smoke in your face, smoke of rebellion? How long, will you permit a godless world continuing its hatred and spewing out its venom against the Holy God? We pray that soon, Heavenly Father, that soon you might do a work, a strange work, which will tingle the ears of the people. That Jesus Christ might be brought forth, that he might be magnified and glorified. For we pray in his name. And to that end, amen.